Thanks, Bud. Good morning, guys. What a way to start the week. Get up on Monday morning and come talk about accreditation. I can't think of anything any better to do. And I'm glad you couldn't either. We're glad you're here. One of the challenges that we have right now in talking about public health accreditation is the challenge of talking about things that you already know. So while you read our disclosure slide that says we don't have any conflict of interest to disclose, my conflict of interest is I'm very passionate about this topic. So if that's conflict, then so be it. But we don't have any commercial conflicts either, doctrine of color, so we're supposed to do that. While you're thinking about that, I would like to get a little sense from the audience about your level of knowledge already about the public health accreditation movement. And the reason for that is it'll determine how quickly we go through about the first 10 slides. But I don't want to do that to the exclusion of somebody who may have heard about this and need to know a little bit more about how we got to where we are. So let me just do a little bit of a check here. How many of you kind of feel like you know why we're even talking about public health accreditation and how it came to be and like to skip those first few slides? Okay. All right. That's a little more than half. I tell you what, we'll compromise and we'll go through just quickly. So for those of you who've seen these, I'll wake you up in about 5 minutes. So Public Health Accreditation Board is a nonprofit. We are not government. That's one of the questions that I get asked a lot about whether we're another federal agency. And we're not. We're a nonprofit voluntary organization. And our goal is to develop the public health accreditation program for local, state, territorial, and tribal public health departments. And then to run that program based on a framework of a quality and performance improvement. We are funded by the Centers for Disease Control and the Robert Johnson Foundation, and we have at least two folks from RWJ in the room, Michelle Larkin and Joe Marks. So they're here to monitor how well we do, and so we would appreciate you all telling them we did a good job so that we can. But we also have a number of other partners, and you can see those partners on the slide here. These are our national public health partners who continue to help us to get the program as right as possible as we continue to develop it. I won't go through the history here except to say the slide starts in 2003. But I just recently was sent an email of an article that spoke about, it was a Milbank article from the 30s that actually called for accreditation of health departments. So for those of you who might think that we just came up with this just a little while ago, I don't think so. The Institute of Medicine report on the future of public health talked about it. Both CDC and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation have had it as far as part of their strategic planning for a while. And back in 2005, they funded us to conduct a feasibility study called Exploring Accreditation. That report is on our website if you're interested. And we were asked to answer two questions. Is it desirable and is it feasible to move forward with developing this program? And the answer to that was yes, with a whole bunch of caveats. I will tell you that I had the privilege of chairing that committee, enjoyed it thoroughly, never once thought when we were writing that wonderful report, which I still think is wonderful, but I never thought I might actually end up having to implement that report. So it's been a pleasure, but a word to the wise, be careful what you write when you're asked to chair a committee. We were incorporated as that nonprofit in May of 2007, and we have been working since that time to develop the standards and measures and the process for accreditation. And we've just spent the last year really testing those in 30 health departments across the country. Our goal right now is in late summer of early fall of 2011 to actually begin accepting applications for accreditation. So our session today is to talk to you about a little bit about how we went about conducting the beta test and why we did it, where we did it, and those kinds of things. And then we want to end with not only some tips for those of you who might be thinking about it or have questions about it, but some dialogue with you about concerns you have, rumors you've heard, and by the time you leave at around 10 o'clock, hopefully all of that, those cobwebs will be clear and you'll be ready to go forward and get your health department ready for accreditation. We get asked a lot about the so what. Why would I want my health department to be accredited? Don't you know that we're in an economic downturn and that I've got a lot to do right now and my staff are busy, and the last thing I want to do is to go through a process that quite frankly many folks remember from maybe academia or from their hospital days or whatever as being quite laborious and not much change or improvement occurring as a result of that. For those of you who don't know, I'm a nurse, been there, done that. I worked in academia, I worked in hospitals. I do very much understand those concerns. FAB is trying really hard to develop a credible accreditation process that has a little different nuance to it. It's a partnership process. It's a collaborative. It's peer-driven. We hope to keep it both science and evidence-based and practice-driven, and that's a real challenge. But we think that when we do that, that being accredited will raise the credibility of a health department. We've already heard around the country from policymakers, local elected officials, and others, when we talk about, oh, did you know we're working on public health accreditation? And very often we get the reaction of, what do you mean the health departments aren't accredited? The fire department's accredited. And so we think that there's a level of, now that does not mean that we think that health departments aren't credible now. Obviously health departments are credible, but this is sort of that opportunity for the gold seal of approval that says that your health department has decided to put yourself voluntarily up for review against national standards by a team of peers and have been found to have passed muster. So it's also an opportunity to recognize those high-performing health departments. Before I retire, I want to see the headline in a newspaper to say that the mayor or the governor or a city councilman or whatever was praising the health department for achieving accreditation. How many of you in the audience work in academia? In academia? Well, you know that in academia, when your school gets accredited, that's a big deal. And they make a big deal. When I was dean, we made a big deal. We had receptions and dinners and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'd like to see health departments be celebrated that same way. We already know, and we'll talk some more about this on the beta test, that the standards, while not perfect, form an effective framework for planning. And so to the question of, don't you know that we're short on money right now, we've lost staff and whatever, here's what I say, because state and local health departments have said it to us. We do have to deal with the reality of the economy of today. I've been a local health department administrator, I've been a state health department administrator, I get it. But I also know that there's life on the other side of this economic downturn. Just like the nursing shortage has cycled up and down and the economy, and while this one may be a little tougher than many of us can remember, there will be life for the health department on the other side of this economic downturn. So my question is, what do you want your health department to look like on the other side? And we've had sites to tell us already that they're using the standards and measures, even in their draft form, to say, what do we need to unload that we've been doing for a long time, because when we decided to do these services 20, 30 years ago, it's a good thing, and now there are 10, 15 other providers that can do this service, and they're not necessarily geared toward population. Or how can we work smarter? Even with our beta test, we've had comments about, you know, just going through the part that asks us serious questions about how you handle contract management. And, you know, what's your policy development process look like? How do you engage the community in the work you do? And on and on and on. This could be a talk in and of itself. And hopefully at some point after we're accrediting health departments, we'll have data attached to these assumptions. But at the end of the day, it's the bottom bullet that we're interested in. We get asked all the time, do you have data that shows that accreditation makes a difference in improving the health outcomes at the community level? Well, no, we don't have the data because we've never had an accredited health department. But here's sort of the logical hypothesis we have. Why wouldn't it make sense that a high-performing health department would lead to better outcomes in their community? High-performing hospital, high-performing health department, high-performing government in general, does that not seem intuitive? We very much understand that health departments don't control all the social determinants and the multiple determinants of health. We get that. But the health department not being there, certainly, we've seen has an impact. So that's what we're aimed at. Who are our potential applicants? Local, state, and territorial, and tribal health departments. The standards that we've tested so far were standards that were developed by a peer, a practice-based work group for local and state health departments. And we tested them in the beta test in three tribal health departments. And what we learned is the standards are probably fine. The measures may need a little bit of editing. The language is very different. Anybody in the room work in tribal public health? Okay. It's just what you call things. What, you know, as you're asking for examples of documentation and sometimes the processes for getting policies approved and those kinds of things. So we're in the process right now of editing our standards and measures to more readily fit tribal health departments. We do have three prerequisites. Community health assessment, a community health improvement plan, and an agency strategic plan. These are required in order to apply for accreditation in the future. We have this long definition of community health assessment that talks about a comprehensive process for collecting, if collection is needed, mostly analyzing and using data to educate and mobilize communities in order to identify resources, assets, population health status, and those kinds of things. What we really found in the beta test is that most health departments either have data or have access to data. It's getting their arms around a comprehensive process for effectively using it. That is the challenge. From that assessment, then the development along with the community of a community health improvement plan that is a long-term systematic, public health systematic effort to address those issues that were identified by the assessment process. It's broader than the health department. If you can well imagine that if in the assessment you identified infant mortality as being a major issue, then there are certainly roles for almost all the sectors in the public health system. And the community health improvement plan is the plan that speaks to what the community plans to do in order to address the issues identified in the community health assessment. We see the health department, as the IOM report said, as the backbone for leading and guiding those efforts. And then an agency strategic plan speaks to not only things that you would imagine that are pretty routine about the mission and the vision and the objectives for the health department, but also takes what was identified in the health assessment and in the health improvement plan and says, from all of that, here's what the health department's priorities are and our objectives for working on that. Why are these prerequisites? I could say they're Public Health 101, because if you browse through Publishers Row in the exhibit hall here, what you will find is that if you pick up a Public Health 101 or Fundamentals of Public Health textbook, talk about assessment and planning, and then implementation and evaluation. But I also know from a practical standpoint, it's not quite so practically Public Health 101. And so what FAB is trying to do here is to say, at the very least, we'd like for you to tell us what you know about the health status of the jurisdiction you serve and what how you're engaging partners in order to address those issues. I had one beta test site to say, why would we do all that when we don't have funding to address those? And FAB's answer to that would be, well, first of all, you need to know about it because you need to educate the public and policymakers about it. And our second sort of a little bit sarcastic answer to that might be you won't ever have funding if you haven't identified it and made the case. And what we learned from the beta test also is having these three documents, although they weren't required for the beta test, laid immense groundwork for success in reaching the rest of the standards and elements. So it's a lot of work. It is. We think it's not far off the mark, and these are three items that will not change from the as we edit the standards and measures from what we learned from the beta test. Probably the most common question I get asked is, what's this going to cost? And my answer to that is, I wish I knew. We will know. We don't know that yet. There will be a fee associated. After all, we want the health department to have some skin in the game here. And ultimately, when the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Centers for Disease Control decide that they like what we're doing and that we need to keep doing it on our own, we need to be able to sustain. And so we've learned a lot about the cost of running the program. From the beta test, and we have a fee development committee that's looking at all those. We're also looking at costs that other accrediting bodies have developed and what goes into forming those costs. But at the same time, we're also working with our federal partners at both CDC and HRSA right now, and then hopefully extend that to USDA. And other federal partners that fund health departments to minimize those financial barriers to the cost and also incentivize accreditation. We've seen a little bit of progress in that as the CDC infrastructure grants went out and the opportunity for health department to apply for those in order to work on meeting the FAB standards was made available. The steps in the process are pre-application phase, and that's simply where we will ask a health department to say to us we're interested in applying for accreditation. And then there's some readiness training, if you will, that FAB will do after that to say, let us tell you what it is you're about to get yourself into. And we want, because we want health departments who get to the next step of actually submitting an application and their first fee, to be able to be successful. And so we think there's a lot of education and work that will go on in that pre-application phase. Self-assessment is really where most of the work occurs. It's a self-study. FAB provides all the materials, but it's an opportunity for the health department to look at the standard, the measure, and the exhibits that we're asking in order to prove that you're meeting that measure from your standpoint, and an opportunity for you as a health department to score yourself. That is the most work. In the beta test, we had to condense that time period in order to get the beta test done. So health departments that were in there actually only had about 3 months to get this done. That's not quite enough. So as we roll the program out, we expect the self-assessment to take anywhere from 9 to 12 months, depending on how ready the health department is to do that. Once all of that information has been collected and is uploaded into the system, then a team of peers, team of 3 to 4, depending on the size of the health department, will be assigned to that health department and will actually review that information for compliance, if you will, with the standards and measures, and they will also score. And there's where the opportunity for consensus sort of comes to be. They make a site visit to the health department to ask for clarifying questions, to do a tour of the facility. Those site visits are usually 2 to 3 days, and we learn a lot on those site visits from the beta test. From that, a report's generated, and goes to a committee of our board, the Accreditation Review Committee. Dr. Scutchfield, standing in the back, is currently chairing that committee to develop the process by which they will receive those reports and then decide what the accreditation decision will be. Once the health department's then notified about their accreditation status, then obviously there's reaccreditation to consider. FAB has decided on a 5-year accreditation cycle, and we've had all kinds of comments about what should happen in that 5 years. What we don't want to have happen is that you go, phew, that's over, report goes up on the shelf or stays on some shared drive in the computer, and nobody ever sees it again. So part of what we want to build into that is an opportunity for quality improvement and continued access to dialogue about what the quality improvement needs to be. We want to keep it alive and well. So once you engage with us along the accreditation path, you will just be married to us for a while. And so that's part of what we want you to know. Most of you probably already know this, but the standards and measures are organized around the 10 essential domains that relate to the 10 essential public health services. We think those are still pretty valid. We may clarify those a little bit, but we don't expect major changes in those from the beta test. And then the Part A speaks to the administrative capacity and governance. And our standards work group developed those standards and measures new, because those didn't exist anywhere else, and we will have some considerable changes to make to those based on the beta test, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the presentation. So with that, I'm going to sit down for a few minutes, and Dr. McCullough is going to come tell you about the beta test. He chaired our beta test steering committee and had the privilege of guiding this process successfully. So, Bud?
Thanks very much, Kay. I'll give you a little hint of what we learned in the beta test. We won't really have the final results until our beta test evaluator gives those to those of us in the board in our December meeting. But this will at least give you some idea of where we are with the beta test. We actually did do an alpha test, which was a desk review of the process and the standards, and had lots of people looking at those in more of a desk review. The beta test is really running through the whole process, all of the pieces, with the exception of the timing, because this process may take some time and we really wanted to move ahead with this. We have a condensed time frame that we ran this beta test. So we did all of the pieces, but we did them all fairly quickly. We received 148 applications from health departments wanting to be part of this beta test, and we really could have taken any of those health departments. I think anybody would have been a very valid applicant, but we wanted to pick a group that was somewhat representative in terms of organizational size and configuration, so we had different kinds of systems represented. And we had some variety in terms of not only different types, but different parts of the country represented. And we ended up with 30 health departments, 8 state, 19 local, and 3 tribal health departments. This is our list of the state partners, the state health departments that were chosen as beta test sites. And you can see we have large states, small states, and different parts of the country represented there. And these are our local health departments who were represented. And again, we have geographic diversity, we have urban-rural mix. And one of the things that we made clear when we were announcing this is we didn't expect health departments that were ready to be approved and accredited that day. What we wanted is people who were in various states of accreditation. So we weren't expecting people to pass all of the standards and measures. These are our tribal partners. We had 3 tribal applicants, and we've been working with all of them. So we're done with the beta test at this point in terms of all of the health departments successfully completing the beta test. They've gone through all the various steps. And it really took a lot of work on many different people's parts to have that actually happen. Are there any people in the audience who were part of a site, a beta test site, just out of curiosity? Okay, great, thanks. These are key folks in those health departments who made things happen. One was the accreditation coordinator, a very key role. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. We also had teams of peers from across the country who visited the beta test site to really verify, to ask questions about the self-assessment that the health department had gone through. And some of FAB's partners, partner organizations, we had observers go along just to see what it was like. As a board member, I got to go to a couple of these because once we put this in process, we won't have board members really able to look at what's going on. They're going to be running this rather than visiting sites. So we had people who needed to understand what are the dynamics in a site visit, how does that really work, and what's behind that. So this was the process that a health department went through as part of the beta test. They submitted an application for accreditation. They went through a very lengthy self-assessment, which consisted of submitting documentation, collecting documentation, on the various measures of the standards that exist. And those standards where they were in conformity with each of the over 100 measures. When they had completed that and told us they were ready to be visited, we sent out a team of peers to spend 2 or 3 days with them going over questions that the team might have had. The team reviewed the documentation that each site, each health department had accumulated at that point, did their own assessment of whether they actually were in conformity with the measure or not, and then developed a list of questions so that when they visited the site, they could get those questions answered. At the end of that process, there was a site visit report that the health department received. They sent back to us any corrections or comments they had about inaccuracies in that report. And that was the basic process for the beta test. Anyone in the room who is an accreditation coordinator, just out of curiosity? Great, thank you. These were either appointed by health department directors or in some cases were the health department director. And these folks received a 2-day training that we put on in the Public Health Accreditation Board, and were part of webinars and conference calls over this period of time. And this is the key person really responsible for bringing all of that documentation together, for coordinating different pieces from different parts of the agency, making sure the logistics worked fine, making sure they had an internal system that really pulled this together. FAB provided some support in terms of an IT system where all of this could reside, but there was a lot that had to be done really locally, and we can get into more detail if you're interested in some of that. And this turns out to be really one of the key pieces in making sure the accreditation went well, in organizing all the activities, organizing the site visit. Site visitors, any site visitors in the room? So we have a few of those, great. Again, these folks are all volunteers. These are peers, so these are public health practitioners. These folks came from a large pool who volunteered. They attended a 2-day site visitor training, and at that training, they received guidance on their roles and responsibilities that were part of the site visitor's guide. They had a sample site visit agenda. It also included a template that they were going to follow as part of their site visit that they took, and there was a scoring sheet that they could use to help them assess whether the measures were in conformity. There were 97 site visitors total. We tried to make a mix of folks so that we didn't have all the same kind of people on each site team, but we had various kinds of folks who were site visitors, for example, we had 41 who were either deputy or directors of their agency. We had 27 or 26 people who were environmental public health background, 10 people with tribal experience, 5 who had public health laboratory experience. We had a variety of people who had a variety of different experiences in public health that could also be added to the team. And we were sending 3 to 4 people to an agency and tried to get a mix of those. We also had a number of people named as alternates. As inevitably happens in this kind of process, you have last-minute illnesses or emergencies that come up. You need people you can send out at the last minute who have the adequate training. So we built that into the system. We'll get into the next steps at this point. The evaluator for this whole beta test process was the National Opinion Research Center from University of Chicago, who helped us along with this. And they're producing a formal evaluation report for us. They've been giving us feedback all along about what kind of the early results were, but we've really been waiting until the end because there may well be a difference between the early sites that they receive feedback from and the late sites. And so we need to look at this really as a whole to make sure we have an accurate picture of what went on. So they'll be giving us their report in a meeting that we'll be having in December, and then FAB will turn around and give a lot of that information back to you in January in various forms. We've also had the North Carolina Institute for Public Health analyzing feedback about different tools that we used during the beta test. We had a number of different forms that were used, and we had places on our website where people could give us feedback about what was right or wrong about those tools. And North Carolina has given us a report about what works and what doesn't work, and we think that's very helpful feedback. We're getting all this feedback. We've gone through this beta test really to make sure that the pieces that we thought would work actually do. And so we're going to take that information, and in the first part of 2011, over about a 6-month period, we will be re-looking at our standards and measures. We'll be re-looking at the process that we've devised for accreditation and making sure that that we're changing that according to the best information we have from the beta test. Let me have Kay talk about this.
There's been a lot of attention given to the beta test, and as well it should. That was our field lab, if you will, for testing the process. But simultaneous with that, we also have a number of think tanks that we've organized that are designed to explore in some less structured detail some of the issues around accreditation that aren't specifically about the standards and measures. And so you see the list here, and I won't go over all of those unless you have a particular interest, but I'll just hit on a couple so that you kind of get a feel for why we're holding the think tanks. The centralized states. Now, any of you here from states where the state health department actually runs a local health department as a subdivision of the state health department? No, that's interesting. Well, there are a number of areas where that's the case, and you can well see why that the process for accreditation would need to be amended slightly just based on that. So we have one more meeting of that group to kind of wrap that up. Environmental health, emergency preparedness, public health labs, and then some others that we're considering that I call programmatic chunks or buckets of work have to do with sort of those cornerstone program areas that almost every health department operates in one way or another. They may do it in partnership or by contract, but there are nuances associated with how do we best include enough of that information in order for us to collectively say this health department is not only high performing, but it manages the programs, or at least a sample of its programs, very well, without FAB becoming a monitor of programs, and that is not what we intended to do. We're about the overall infrastructure. And so these are the first few programmatic areas that we've started looking at. There are nuances associated with large city metro, and what's not on here but is in that included in that last bullet are also those very, very small, we used to call them small rural, for purposes of thinking that we needed to think about them as a group, and now it's become small rural frontier, and it can might be urban as well. But the current standards and measures were designed to deal with, if you think about a bell curve, the majority of the health departments. But the large city metros obviously have complexities that we have not yet begun to think about. And we learned a lot through the beta test about the issues with the really small health departments. Why is Texas a think tank? Is there anybody in here from Texas? Okay, then you probably know why you're a think tank. We partnered with the Texas Association of Local Health Officials. They did what amounted to, Bud talked about an alpha test earlier. Texas actually did what amounted to a tabletop beta, and actually looked at the standards and measures, because Texas has at least one of every configuration, size, organizational structure, health department that we could ever imagine. And so we thought the work that Texas did in looking at standards and measures and whether what health departments thought about those, we thought that would be applicable to the rest of the country. And that report certainly has already informed us. There will be reports from each of these and subsequent think tanks that will also inform the final product as we prepare for the launch. That's what that slide says. So now we want to get to the part of the program where we'll have slides, but Bud and I want to really have some interaction with you. As you probably saw from the hands that were raised, we have beta sites represented in the room. We have site visitors represented in the room. We have at least one accreditation coordinator in the room. And so we have a lot of people, and we have four board members. So we have a lot of people with a lot of experience and interest in what we know so far. And so what we wanted to do at this point is really the focus of this session, is to talk about, okay, is my health department ready? Is it getting ready? Are we even thinking about this? And it looks like it's going to be, you know, another 9 months or so. That's kind of prophetic, isn't it? 9 months before we actually have this baby, and invite you to apply. So what do you need to be doing in the meantime? FAB's advice is you don't need to just be waiting, because we already know a lot of things that you need to be doing. And so while there will be slides, what we'd like to do for the next 30 minutes or so is to have some interaction with you about what your thinking is on these. We also have a handout that's associated with advice in the meantime. We have these up here. I don't think there's enough for everybody, Bill, but there are some. It's also in our last newsletter. If you don't want to take another piece of paper home and you haven't signed up for our newsletter, you can certainly do that, and these will be on the website. So let's take apart the advice in the meantime, and let's start with the prerequisites. Regardless of what happens with the revision to the standards and measures from the beta test, and there will be some revisions, the prerequisites as a concept won't change for all the reasons that we said. It lays the great groundwork. What we've learned so far, though, from the beta test and also just from the general questions we're getting, is that we need to better clarify what we mean by a community health assessment, a community health improvement plan, and an agency strategic plan. On the back of this handout are our current definitions of those. So, Bud, I think I'll open the conversation now with just asking the audience, let's talk about that just a little bit. First of all, what do you think about this idea of these three prerequisites? Practically, we understand that they may not have been done, but as a concept for laying the groundwork for accreditation, Thoughts from the audience? Cautions? Concerns? Make sense? Yes, thank you. You win the prize for being the first to break the ice.
On a strategic plan, I think about the health departments are so driven by annual plans and budgets. It becomes hard to look out and ask,
can you tell us who you are?
John Grant, Director of District Health Department. And I have trouble figuring out how we're going to do a long-range strategic plan when I'm so driven by annual plan budgets. What are you looking for in a strategic plan?
Yeah, and that's actually a great question. Can you all hear us okay if we do it this way? I'd rather, wouldn't you? In my experience in public health, what you describe as those annual strategic plans that we turn in with our budget were exactly that. That depending on where I work, the format is really largely driven by what the legislative budget office or individual was looking for. And so it was short term. It was much more, what are you going to do in this next year or two? Is that kind of what you were talking about?
So what you're looking for, is there anything?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what you're currently doing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, FAST looking for, this is a 5-year cycle, is based on that community health assessment and improvement plan that you developed hopefully with your community partners. What is it that the health department's strategies are related to that? Now, in all honesty, if from a QI standpoint, those should be related to your annual plans that you turn in on budget. But FAB is not going to evaluate whether you ask for enough money in the right budget in order to carry out your public health duties. Why are we not going to do that? First of all, we know that that is very low. And I don't know about your budgeting plans, but back home when I did, when they didn't relate at all to the way we actually handled our programs, they related to the format that the legislative budget office wanted us to do. So for FAB, what we're asking for, sure, the mission of your agency should be the same, so you ought to be able to cut and paste that. Your overall objectives for why you even exist, wherever that's outlined, whether it's in ordinance or statute, or whether it's something from the state health department, from the state health department, those should be the same. But for this, what we're really looking at is, what's your part? What's the health department's part? What are your goals and objectives related to the community health assessment and improvement plan that just for you? So you really can think of these not as three separate things, but a continuum. Does that make sense? I don't know if that helps. We're also not looking for something that is 562 pages in printed out. It might be one of the popular models, and I'm not promoting a particular model at the time, I want to answer the model that works for you. But one of the popular models is the one that you should choose your path. That's just fine. So does that answer your question or not really?
I'm trying to work out in my mind how this is practical, because I understand it's practical in ideal circumstances. My goal now over the next few years is to just survive with all the funding cuts. And I have trouble thinking about how can I do anything other than this period of survival. Maybe that's a good strategic
plan. Survival is a work.
And
most excellent organizations really fought ahead a little bit in terms of time frame, so they're looking out from 3 to 5 years, some of them even longer, and thinking about what direction do they want to go. As you're thinking about how the dire economic consequences that everybody's experiencing are affecting the organization, you need to think about where it is you want to be. So you look at your own internal strengths as an organization, what your positive aspects are, strengths and weaknesses. You also look out into your environment to see what your opportunities and threats are. Doing that kind of assessment really helps you make better decisions about your direction in the future. The annual budget plan money that you do should actually fit into where your money going, because otherwise you might be in debt. So we're really looking at strategic planning as thinking about where is it you're headed, and how do you, how do the other pieces that we're talking about, the planning pieces, really fit into that?
I can give you a couple of practical examples, and we'll move on to your question. This may be too simplistic, but it's one we saw very quickly. Health department, 3 years in a row, had 25%, 16%, 12% budget. That resulted in some layoffs, some reduction in program services. Okay, so their annual report, their annual strategic plan that they're required to do, had to speak to how they were going to reach that 16%, 25% budget cut. That's hook, that's the hook, that's right, that's right. What their strategic plan they're working on for us, though, says, their community health assessment says that their TB rate is rising. Do you know who was part of the staff that got cut in those budget cuts? And so their strategic plan for us says we acknowledge that we've had a rising TB rate. The reality in our community health improvement is we have to work with our partners to work a lot smarter, so on and so forth. But the truth is that at the end of the day, one of our strategic goals in this 5 years is over time as the budget restores itself. And there will be another side of this recession. I know right now it's hard to say that. Look historically, we've gone through these cycles. So at the end of this, what would you want to start shorting back up space? In that particular case, one of their strategic objectives in their plan was one of the first programs that they know that they can short up is going to be. Will they be able to do that? We don't know. I don't know. That's why it's called strategy. It's not operation. But I don't know if that's a little too simplistic, but maybe we've seen those kinds of.
It made me feel good that you said you weren't expecting us to solve issues we didn't have money to solve.
Oh, absolutely not. What we're expecting you to do is to know that they're there, to know what your partners are capable of helping you with, and to identify those gaps.
Part of the reason for doing this planning is to do some thinking kind of before you get impacted by the next wave of budget cuts.
So we have, they have one here, and then I'll come to you. So, yes.
Good morning, my name is Larry Isaacson. I'm Deputy Commissioner of Nassau County, New York, Local Health Department. We have our last community health assessment, the first prerequisite we have, we're very proud of it, that was released at the end of 2008. But what's interesting is since the end of 2008, when that was released, we've had two retirement incentives, which has resulted in 20% of our entire health department shrinking. A new county executive, which resulted in no backfills of the 20% replacement. And basically, we've actually had to cut down a lot of the programs we did in our own community health assessment since it was released in 2008, just to meet state law mandates.
Sure.
So we're not just resting and crying about how tough times are. Tough times for everybody, and we still have to serve our public. But we've come up with a lot of our own internal ideas, such as, this isn't our own idea, this has been done before, but we've started cross-training. With that, we also have a new commissioner, a new deputy commissioner, and our five senior-most people retired in those retirement incentives. So my concern, I guess, is, especially if you said it's going to be on a five-year basis, there's so much flux, being that we're basically at the whim of our county legislature and county executive, and the economy does go up and down, that any ideas we're working on today, let's say we do apply in a year when you invite us to apply, I don't know when that's going to be based upon. I don't know what our community health assessment is going to look like the next time it comes out at the end of this year. And as far as strategic planning, I guess that was more a comment, but now the question I have is, one thing we have done, because we know we really need to use whatever money we have well, is we've actually hired some firm to come and help us with strategic planning. Not because we don't think we can handle it, but, you know, especially the commissioner and I, we're physicians, we're not business people. And so I'm curious what your perspective is on a county health department getting help with that.
Yeah. Boy, you did a lot of great comments.
Sorry.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm going to come to, I'll answer, and then Bud may want to as well. The last question, then I want to comment on some of your other comments. I think getting assistance is great. What we don't want to send the message about, though, is that you have to do that in order to suit our needs. We are planning to say that you must have this kind of strategic plan, or use this model, or do it this way, because it's got to work for NASA. It's got to work for you. And so we'll be training our reviewers as you on staff, as these prerequisites come in, to look at as evidence that it made a difference for you. And if that means that you've identified somebody to come in and help you do that, great. If that means that you're able to, some other health department may be able to do it with internal resources, that's great too. But we don't expect that a health department needs to go spend a lot of money bringing in consultants to get ready for PAP accreditation.
Just a comment. One of the things we did learn from the beta test was that people want us to spell out some of the elements that we're expecting to see in a strategic plan. So that is work that we're expecting to do, and you should be able to see from us, when we say strategic plan, here's really the elements that we're going to be looking for. And that way, whether you hire someone to do it or whether you do it yourself, you know what it is you're looking for.
And we'll be using basic strategic planning prototypes for that. So no matter if you pay somebody who's in business, they should touch on this. But that's your point. We're going to roll this program out next year. I'd love to have lots of applicants, but I don't want to have all the applicants next year. Does that make sense? And I think sometimes we've gotten all excited about the launch. We're going to launch in 2011. And sometimes, and I know this is not what you're saying, but I want to use it to get to it instead. I want people to be ready to apply for accreditation when you're ready to apply. Because I walk into being successful. For you, given the turmoil that you've described you're going through, that may be 5, 6, 7 years down the road. That's okay. It's fine. That's why I'm calling here. In the meantime, if we're successful with the policy work we're doing on incentives, that just the fact that you're thinking about it, that you're identifying your gaps, that you know where you need some help, who knows when there may be another opportunity to apply for some money and help get you over that edge. So, here's the time. Public health's great about thinking long term when it comes to, we know it takes a long time to change that epic trend in our communicable diseases. We know that it's going to take generations to deal with the obesity issue. Sometimes when it comes to dealing with our finances, we're very short-term focused because it is a matter of survival. But on the accreditation, it's the long-term view that we're interested in. So the fact that you're even thinking about and asking the questions at a time when you are just trying to keep the motor flowing is a great start. Lady Pat.
Hi, I'm from the Google Metro Department of Public Health. And I guess my question, I have a couple of questions, some of which they didn't know. But in terms of the prerequisites, how are you going to evaluate the process or the development of some of these prerequisites? For example, we've done all three. But they're at several different stages. Our strategic plan last year was really not the most comprehensive that could have been. It was basically as a result of a requirement from the mayor's office, a process that they had in place. And we had to come up with a strategic plan based on APC. So we really, even though we have a lot of we're not really that happy with the process involved with key stakeholders and our staff that could have and should have occurred. So we're kind of, we're pretty much starting from, scratching because of we weren't that satisfied with it. As far as the community health assessment, my office conducts one every year. just in the process of making sure that all of these three things or the process are aligned with one another and the consequences, etc. But we are interested in pursuing implementation. So we may not be at the final stages of some of the prerequisites, or definitely not at the implementation stage. And so I was wondering how much do you want us to be completely quite finished, or and then what's the, you know, are you going to evaluate the process of implementing the process?
In answer to the last question, no. Process needs to be a process that works for you. In answer to the first question, as Dr. McCullough said, we've been asked to clarify what are the elements that we're looking for. Apparently, we thought this was a little fit for our work group did, than it is for people to understand. And so over these next just short period of time, probably 2 to 3 months, we'll actually, beyond the definition that we already have, we'll be looking for these elements in the community health assessment and in the personal planning. Driven by the concept, always, that it probably will never be finished. So take heart in that. It won't ever be perfect. Because remember, we are not looking for the three-ring binder with the glossy print up on the shelf that doesn't make a difference in the work your health department does. So we're interested in the process as you describe it, and we're interested in the outcome of that process as you will describe it to us. But what at the end of the day, what we're looking at is what difference did it make to the work that you do? And that's going to be, and so you, for example, have done a good job, I think, of saying, we started an agency strategic plan 1.01, so we're starting over whatever. So in that pre-application phase, that's the kind of conversation before you even see a document. Those are the kind of conversations that we would be having with you to say, you know, where are you with this? When do you think it's about ready? And we wouldn't encourage you to apply and submit those until you felt really good about them. Knowing that there are always being changed for the reason that the gentleman from Mathaw said, another male. And also that it is, there are processes. They're not books to be published. They're processes to be described. Dr. McCullough's done some work in teaching this material. So, but I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about some of the getting ready parts of the process.
Well, I think maybe just another way, part of what I heard you asking was whether could you use, for example, a community health assessment that you've done or a plan that you've done that had been completed, but you weren't satisfied with it and you wanted to move on to something else. The answer is sure. Part of what we're going to be looking for really is, and when I say we, it means the site visitors who are making judgments about the different pieces that you have in place that are going to take your agency to a better level of operation and effectiveness. And so, just that they're going to want to assure themselves that you actually have some processes in place that are ongoing and that are really meeting the spirit of what we're trying to do here.
And just one more question. So the quality improvement plan is not a prerequisite?
Same thing. It's not a prerequisite. But the quality improvement plan is a great question. If we come from. Quality improvement plan is a requirement in Domain 9.
Right.
That domain is going to have some greater clarification after the input from the beta test. But in general, what we were looking for there in that is that the agency has a quality improvement plan and actually does something with it that actually makes a difference in the health department. So again, it's not a prerequisite, but we've been asked to give greater clarity to what our site visitors would need to see. And by the way, we saw some really good starts in the beta test, so we've got some good parameters, I think, that we can use to help describe that a little bit.
And I guess just a little bit more after this. The reason why hard for us, just how we talk about and work on these things internally, to not think about the quality improvement plan, but we're going to think about all of these others.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
No, we not a prerequisite. It kind of seems to us to, you know, we can't ignore it, but we're going to talk about it.
Get it done. Just plan. Remember where you put it. So you can pull it out for the documentation. Now, I think you're right, and actually tomorrow, Dr. Riley, who's the chair of the staff board, in his, one of his other hats he wears, is he does a lot of work around quality improvement. In our presentation tomorrow, we're going to talk a lot more about how this accreditation relates to quality improvement. That's at 12:30 tomorrow. But part of the deal is we did talk about whether the QI plan needed to be a part of the prereqs and decided not to do that. Get the others done is quite a chore. Nothing wrong whatsoever, though, with considering all of that as a goal of support, and then you'll just have it ready for donation. Others? Yes.
Jerry Marshall, Department of Administration at Lincoln County Health Department in Illinois. Just from a very practical level, we had some turnover a couple of years ago, kind of at our top administrative type positions, and timing-wise, somebody chooses or a group chooses to pursue accreditation, the strategic plan might be a year from expiration. The community health assessment and the improvement plan might be 2 years after that. So looking at the five-year window, what is it that you're going to want to see as far as the timeliness of the document?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. And again, that's one we're going to need to clarify. We got a lot of feedback from the beta test about that. You know, at the end of the day, the timeliness of it needs to be that the definition of timely is where, you know, it gets to be a little crazy. I think that, and some of the site reviewers may have helped with this, we have several timing points for what annual means, because annual's not just yearly, it may be 14 months. And so on. And I think we said as long as the plan was done within about 2 years of the application time. The truth is, though, let me just be real clear, the truth is from the beta test, we've got a lot of comments about cleaning that up. What we did want to see was, and we ran into this with the beta test, what we did want to see is a strategic plan that had been done 10 years ago, kind of dusted it out and said, here we go, we've got one. So, you know, we're trying to be reasonable about it. It needs to be what's working for you. So I can see a situation where you might submit that one and say our plans to update this are, and here's how we used it and all that kind of, but we've got to work on that just a little bit with our work group.
Yeah.
Actually, Bud chairs that work group, so.
We have an assessment process work group that's going to look at all of the pieces of this, including the timing of reports like strategic plan and get the comments that we receive from the very text and trying to take that into account. And as Kay said, it's a real balancing act. I don't know if maybe some of the site visitors want to comment on any observations you had when you were looking at people's prerequisites or timing.
Or do you have also a comment about what you would like us to consider?
Well, I would just hesitate. Part of the process is going to be, like you said, because we had some turnover a couple of years ago, and a couple of the things are going to be expiring in the following year, and then the other two are going to be expiring in about 2 years. So trying to look at, if we knew we were going to be interested in pursuing accreditation and things are kind of coming down the pipeline, and as long as we're not delaying things by, you know, years, it's a matter of a few months one way or another to make sure we don't find ourselves just short of being able to show that we've done something in a timely way and that it matches your time frame, that would just be helpful. You know?
Well, the other thing is, you might just want to wait. I mean, if it's that short of time, you might want to delay applying for accreditation until you've done this. I mean, that's the other practical sort of
right.
Discussion.
But just to make sure that we knew when going into a process what your expectations were going to be, so that when we put something in place, we knew that we will be able to hold it up and say, this is good for.
Yeah. That's good feedback. Yeah. So, I visit your site in the
I was just going to say, I think that with the initial documents, if you think again about the processes at the continuum and the assessment links to the community health improvement plan, and then that in turn links to the strategic plan once a comprehensive assessment is completed, that you're continually renewing that. So even within that 5-year time frame window, you most likely likely have some process which you would go back, revisit that plan and update. So theoretically, that once the plan is initially done comprehensively, then your updates would keep that current.
That's good.
Yes. I have a question. Linda Brummer, I'm the Division Director of Environmental Health at the Minnesota Department of Health. And I keep hearing, you know, the programmatic review of environmental health and the labs and emergency preparedness. What is the issue? Is it because health departments don't always have environmental health as part of their program? Or I'm trying to figure out why we feel like the Rodney Dangerfield programs. I run the largest division in my department, but at the same time, we're special. Well, we know we're special, but what for
foundations, of course.
But what is the issue?
What are the issues?
Is it just that?
When the standards work group was first looking at what is it that FAB needs to improve, I have to go back to this in order, I think, for the context to make sense. They did and even in exploring accreditation committee, we did a little bit of a dry run about if we were to include a representative sample of appropriate programmatic measures, what would that kind of accreditation model look like? There were 590-something standards that, at least at that point, could have been identified. And that was, as you can well imagine, was far too daunting. Site visitors and sites worked to address 105 that we thought represented the infrastructure itself. So that's the reason that FAB has chosen not to go deeply programmatic. But as we've vetted the standards and measures, both through our formal vetting process and through the beta test, these buckets of programs, like environmental health, and the reason I say environmental health is a bucket of programs, because you've got food safety and sanitation and all of that up under there. These buckets of programs have said, we've developed our own performance standards in a lot of cases, environmental health has. Can't we figure out some way to have some representative standards and measures in the FAB, and then ultimately, longer term, figure out how the FAB process can link to the very great work that Life Environmental Health's doing in creating the National Environmental Health Performance Standards. That's where we are with the conversation. So it's not that anybody's opposed to any of this, it's just a matter of trying to figure out how to make this happen, because as you know, in Minnesota, you guys all together in that health department got close to 50 programs that you operate. And so, all together. And so the question is, how do we best partner with those cornerstone programs like environmental health and lab and MCH and chronic disease and on and on and on without getting too programmatic? The other thing is the burden of keeping those updated from a FAB standpoint be phenomenally daunting, and so we want to leave that with the experts, but it's how to put them together that we're just at that discussion point.
Yeah,
I don't know if that answers your question.
Let me say, in each of the areas that the think tanks kind of work involved, there are some special issues that kind of pop out. I went to the laboratory one, for example, and part of the issue there was they have 4 or 5 accreditation processes already we're working with in the clinical lab area. And they were thinking as an organization about doing something overall as a public health laboratory accreditation process and wanted to talk to us about how that would actually fit. And so it was basically the start of a discussion about how different processes were actually put together and how we could work together around this.
You said that didn't answer your question, so maybe we can talk after.
I'm just trying to figure out where. So you're saying if we come up with an alternate accreditation,
that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that there are already performance standards for environmental health that the environmental health community has developed, right? Well, there are. I mean, and that's what the think tank was about is how do we put the two together? We just don't know that yet.
I think it's easier for me to understand, actually, with the lab.
Okay, all right.
It may very well be that down the road, PEP has modules of accreditation that are separate from but related to the overall agency accreditation. I'm not saying we're going to do that, but we might have an environmental health module or a lab module. We're just not there yet developing.
At the moment, what we're doing is we're using examples of activities across the health department for the measures. So we might have environmental health examples that would fit certain.
We will have that. That's a given. We will have those.
I might offer as a comment, I heard about the quality improvement. I'm on an advisory committee within the state working on this. And with our local public health, we're finding that accreditation as a concept might be too big to swallow at the local level. And so we've been talking recently about quality improvement makes a whole lot of sense for all of us on all of our programs anyway. And if you're working within local public health, if you get the quality improvement moving, then it's a shorter step to move toward accreditation. So I understand it's not a prerequisite, but in some ways, programmatically, it makes sense to have that in place first.
Absolutely. And we're of course fine with that. Let's take a couple of other questions and then we'll wrap up. Yes.
Okay. I'm Jim, Director of Administration of Public Health for the Brevard County, North Carolina. And my question is, our state does a accreditation review. So how does this differ from our state's accreditation? What benefits? And we're actually in the process of going through reaccreditation. We're accredited in 06. And at that point, they asked for everything in paper evidence. This year, they've gone to electronic-based evidence. So what are you looking for in terms of evidence?
Yeah, that's a great question. Could you all hear? There are actually four states who have state-based accreditation programs. Three of those states have mandatory ones, North Carolina being the one, Michigan being the second, and Iowa is under development. And the fourth one is Missouri, that some of you may be in those states, and it's voluntary as well. FAB standards are largely based on the experience of those states. So if you look at our standards, you're going to see a lot of similarities. There are some differences, obviously. And I understand North Carolina is moving more toward synchronizing the two. We're in conversations with those states right now about how we can best partner with those state-based, especially the mandatory ones, so that you at the local level, if you wanted to go for a national accreditation, wouldn't have to be your differences. And actually, we're very glad that North Carolina is now moving to an electronic submission, because we think that would expedite your opportunity to use some of the same documentation should you choose to go for national. But the process about how that will work out, we're still developing. There was another question. Yes.
Jennifer Ludwig, I'm from the Pueblo City County Health Department in Pueblo, Colorado. So first, I want to welcome you to Mile High City. My question is perfect lead in. It has to do with mandatory accreditation. Right now it's voluntary. Do you see a time that it will become mandatory? And then also, when you start accepting applications, will it be one time a year, or will it be kind of a rolling process?
Let me answer the second question first, because it's easier. I don't know yet. Our committee, that's Bud's group, we'll be looking at the suggestions we got about that from the beta test sites and from some of the site visitors. And we really honestly don't know if it'll be rolling or maybe once a quarter or whatever. We still have to figure out in terms of our managing the workload, because we want to be able to be responsive when you apply. So, that's really difficult, because we don't know this first year if we'll have 20 applicants or 2,000 applicants. And so it's a little difficult to do. So we don't know what we're doing that, and we will let you know that as soon as we develop that. Will it become mandatory? Well, in all honesty, from a FAB standpoint, we hope not in the short run, for all the reasons that we've discussed today. I would much rather, to go back to my Minnesota colleague, I would much rather that a health department want to be accredited because they want some validation of their plans to improve what they do that works for them than that you did it because you had to do it in order to receive X, Y, Z. That's why we're trying to make FAB's program different in that regard. said, what we've learned about mandatory accreditation is, over time, it very often is seen as just something to check off the list. And that's what we don't want to have happen. But I'm not in charge of the country. And so, you know, I don't know if down the road, some several years, if funding sources might say you would get preference if you were accredited. There maybe should be some incentives around that. But at this point, FAB's board is right on paper as supporting the volunteer nature of it from the very first. Let's take one more and then we'll wrap up.
Hi, Jay Schrader, Regional Public Health, Wisconsin. How will FAB accreditation interface other accreditation national programs, for instance, the Digital Project for the Health Program? Will it supplement, will it complement, will it replace?
Yeah, I think you walked in after we did the slide about the think tanks, but one of our think tanks is around emergency preparedness, and that's exactly one of the goals. We haven't had it yet. We're going to hold that think tank in early 2011. But again, in the interest of avoiding certification, for those of you who have gone through that sort of certification process, where our standards and measures can be amended so that you don't have to duplicate, and we can accept certain documents and processes and vice versa, is on our radar to work with them to work out. And CDC is our partner. Okay, we'll but now be here for a little while, but in the interest of being respectful of the next session that needs to come in, let me close with what else should you be doing? We cannot emphasize enough that if you're seriously considering accreditation, appoint an accreditation coordinator. We have one in the room. I don't know if he's interested in talking to people afterwards, but and that's not your full-time job, is it, Fred?
It's my semi-retirement job.
Okay. But when you were first appointed, you also had a full-time job, right? And so I'm not suggesting that you have to add a budget line item, and if your budget allows that, that's great. But this person, you gotta have somebody who can pull it all together, somebody who knows the agency, is well organized, has the director's total support, who can work with electronic documentation. That sounds like a no big deal, but it can get to be a big deal. What that means is that they understand how you take a document and create an electronic version if there isn't one, or extrapolate a web page and turn it into a PDF so that it can be uploaded. And last but not least, of course, somebody who's positive about accreditation. Please don't appoint somebody who thinks this stinks and then expect it to be successful. You laugh. Has happened. I think we've already gone over the pieces that won't change after the beta test, and so this is fodder for you to think about what can we be working on. The prereqs, the framework, we're still going to stick with the 10 essential services and that Part A for administration and governance. We're going to stick with the cornerstone being around quality improvement, not accreditation for the sake of being accredited. We're continuing to work on our fee structure and our information system to support accreditation. As we finish a body of work, and our board's going to be so busy this year. They are a wonderful board. They're going to be so busy. And we're not going to wait until right before the launch to say, okay, here it is. We're going to feed you this information as they meet and approve pieces of it, so that you can see it. And so my best advice is, if you're not signed up for our newsletter, that's once a month, it's going to tell you what we did that month and advice to be working on, at least our website, and we have additional materials at booth 1713. So with that, thank you so much. Is it okay if I close, Bill? Okay. Thank you so much, and let us know. We have another session tomorrow at 12:30. Somewhere, I forgot what room it's in, but if you look in the back of your folder under Dr. Riley or my name, you'll see that session tomorrow. We welcome you. We're going to talk about the QI pieces of it. So thanks so much for coming.